You're with SBS Radio.
News of destruction of a cave of significant cultural importance by a mining company have caught attention of the online community and caused outrage worldwide. Rio Tinto's mining blast for the expansion of an iron ore mine destroyed an ancient Aboriginal site. The cave is considered a sacred site. It showed 46,000 years of continual occupation and provided a 4,000-year-old genetic link to present-day traditional owners, the Putukunti, Kurama and Pinikura people. The blast happened over the last weekend in May at Juncan Gorge in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. The mining company Rio Tinto responded with an apology, saying they were very sorry for the distress they have caused. On Tuesday, 9th of June, hundreds gathered in Perth to rally against mining giant Rio Tinto. On the phone, we are speaking to the organizer of the peaceful protest, Mr. Robert Edgington. Robert Edgington is the director of the Dambatang Aboriginal Corporation and has been for the past 32 years, working in excess of 40 years in community-based organizations. He spoke at many national and international forums and lectures, and he's going to join us on NITV Radio. Thank you, Robert.
It's a pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to be with the listeners.
So on June the 3rd, you have published on social media a call for action inviting people to protest against the Rio Tinto mining company and their actions in the region. What was the response to this?
Look, it's a massive response. And I think that is what kept the energy of Dambatang and myself and the staff of Dambatang engaged in ensuring that this was going to be a day of action against a global giant magnate as powerful as Rio Tinto is, and to try to have a momentum. And of course, that momentum was to get as many people as possible to the rally. And also an interesting factor is the dynamite blast that destroyed those two caves took place on the Sunday before Reconciliation Week. And Reconciliation Week, of course, is the same week in which Sorry Day is acknowledged on the Tuesday. So, you know, to do it obviously in that time frame, to me, was just symbolically something just that was, you know, just made this atrocity that much greater. The caves itself and what was in the Juncan Caves in terms of the archaeological finds over all of the years. And Rio Tinto had this cultural significance and information at hand before the dynamites blew that cave away forever, because they removed some of the objects. But look, the human occupation of one of the cave shelters was and predated back 46,000 years of indication of human occupation. And that included fossilified into the ground of the cave, a fire pit remnants, which had very minor fragmentations of a fire that had burnt, and of course the fragmentations of kangaroo bones and, you know, other sinew parts of the kangaroo that was discovered there by the archaeologists, and the imprints of six sort of people, human beings, sitting around that fire pit. So, you know, they would have been eating the kangaroo as maybe a family members, whoever those people all those years ago were. And there was a hair belt, I think, which was 28,000 years old, that was also located in the cave, a kangaroo bone that was sharpened, in which those old people all those centuries ago would have been carving, you know, their objects, their hunting objects. And, you know, Rio Tinto, as we said, came like a thief in the night under Section 18 of the Aboriginal Heritage Act, and they blew away that sacredness forever. And Dambatang had made very strong comments and commentary on the fact that this has just not been a cultural crime against our people, in particular the custodians of that site, the KPPK people, but this is a crime against history, it's a crime against the world heritage, it's a crime against humanity. And Look, we thought, and it is and was a David and Goliath struggle. And, you know, we said when we opened the rally that, you know, where is the slingshot, David asked as he slayed Goliath. And as I said today, all of us people here and those to whom will support this cause around the world will become the slingshot that will bring to the people this giant and Slade. And then in talking to the Rio Tinto executives, there were a series of demands in which Dumbarton had made to the company and also to the government regarding the aftermath of this unforgivable travesty that took place with the full knowledge of Rio Tinto, knowing how sacred those caves were, and the federal and the state minister for Aboriginal Affairs having pre-warnings and notification that these blasts were going to happen before they took place. So, you know, look, in calling for the resignation through that rally of the CEO of Rio Tinto, Chris Salisbury, and also the Federal Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Ken Wyatt, and the State Minister, Ben Wyatt, was the least that in which Dumbarton could do in terms of trying to get some form of response from this company. And as you said in the lead-in regarding BHP, Billiton, what they've done also is they did have all those sacred site areas listed for blasting, as has Woodside and FMG and others on the sacred grounds of the Aboriginal people of Western Australia. But at least BHP at the moment have put all those blasts on hold until they see what the ramifications of this rally has been against Rio Tinto. I think that the way I see some of these outcomes being is that every Aboriginal site in Western Australia, but it should be right across the country, we need to immobilise ourselves as Indigenous people, Aboriginal people right across Australia to ensure that all of our sites are listed under the World Heritage Act of UNESCO and the World Heritage Act be responsible for the protection and the safeguard of Aboriginal sites. Because look, these state heritage, Aboriginal Heritage Acts and the federal one, they're not worth really the paper they're written on. The pleasure or the enjoyment in which the companies have got to refute a Section 18 approval, that lays with the industry. The Aboriginal custodians don't have the right to appeal once that Section 18 is marked off. And that's where this problem laid. Rio Tinto classified it as a mistake, and it wasn't a mistake. It was carefully planned. And Ken Wyatt, the federal minister, also knew 6 to 7 days before the blast that the blast was going to take place. And then he basically handballed it to the federal environmental minister, Mrs. Lee. And she did absolutely nothing. But the scandal behind that really was to take it out from the Aboriginal portfolio, chuck it to the environmental portfolio. So the first Aboriginal minister for Aboriginal Affairs was let off the political hook. And that's not good enough. And he then simply said it was a mistake. And Ben Wyatt, the state minister, is responsible for signing off on the act to allow these detonations and dynamite blasts in sacred areas to take place, said he just simply did not know that they were even taking place. So upon those two points there, I want to reiterate why Dumbarton and many other Aboriginal groups that we consulted and our people had called for the resignation of the ministers. Some people might see that as not being connected to the particular line of command, but these are the most powerfulest people that we've ever had in government as Aboriginal people. They're ministers. And if they can't stop these blasts going ahead, then what good is even having a Minister for Aboriginal Affairs for our people even about? So I think we need to ensure that these sites that are, again, over 25,000 years old, really needs to come under UNESCO. And we are going to proceed to take Rio Tinto to the International Courts of Justice through the Hague's Convention, and they take care of six issues worldwide. One of them is also intentional carnage against world heritage and the acts against the environment. And that's the international charge that Dumbarton will be trying to provoke the Hague to consider having listened to in the World Court of Justice.
Have you heard from Rio Tinto? Have you contacted them about this matter that you want to take them to the Hague Court?
Yeah, that was in the letter in which was presented to Rio Tinto, was that our intent is to pursue it under the jurisdiction of the Hague's Convention of Justice Courts of the world.
The letter was accepted by Brad Haynes, Rio Tinto's Vice President of Corporate Relations. He accepted that.
Correct.
And he accepted that with an apology. What do you say to that?
The apology, as futile as was the apology of Kevin Rudd's in 2008 for the damage of the stolen generations, how many more apologies do Aboriginal people need to get whilst they continue genocide and continue raping Mother Earth? I mean, look, this issue is not really just an Aboriginal issue in terms of the sacred site areas. This issue encompasses issues like climate change. It encompasses issues like, you see around the world with the uprising of the impoverished and the rich. You know, the GDP of West Australia's mining sector is $194 billion a year. And yet upon the grounds of the minerals that they take on land that they don't own, which is owned by Aboriginal people, they're living in third world conditions. And here in the city, our people suffer from mental health issues, the most massive pandemics of suicide in the world, introduced sicknesses and diseases from the ingrained trauma of the stolen generations. You know, it shatters my heart when I see the wealth that these conglomerates are making that makes up the privilege of the Western world, while those who own those minerals that are under that ground since time immemorial and are the custodians of that, living in the type of squalor and impoverishment. And this is what creates a broken world, to where it's gone wrong to a degree of where even some of our young people, like, and I'm talking now 10, 11 and 12 children, who actually take their lives because they no longer can live in a world broken. And these people are responsible for creating that world in terms of what they've enforced us to live in whilst they just get more rich and powerful. And this uprising around the world, again, in terms of knocking down the colonial images of genocide masters like Columbus and Cook and those, look, it's all entwined with this one thing. And when Dumbutung threw the spear right through the heart of the machines, if you like, and the empires that create that wealth, like Rio Tinto, it was done right at the very perfect time as a world is rising above famine. It's, you know, having to deal with pandemics of sickness, having to deal with massive issues like drought and fires. And what people have got to understand is all of these sorts of disasters in which our earth, our mother, our first mother is rupturing from, is the power of these conglomerates. And that's where Dumbutung threw its spear, straight through the heart of that Western world. And I think it was, you know, to bring down those executives to a level on the ground to where I spoke to them about what they had done and what those expectations now in terms of our response from them as Aboriginal people, is time that obviously that voice was raised.
What would you now think should happen? The caves are blasted, that already happened.
One of the conditions that we had on the letter to Rio Tinto was to create a 120-kilometer zone of buffer around where the cave site was blasted, and for that to have a monument for the old people up there and a keeping place for their objects, one very secured and something their young people can grow proud to have what little knowledge of their culture has been left after such a devastation. But a 120 buffer zone around the cave so that no excavation of the iron ore can take place. In other words, they can't and shouldn't take the iron ore from that blast site and just put it on the trucks that take it to the huge, massive 7-kilometer-long trains, onto the cargo ships and then over to China to make the manufactured goods from. So that was one of the demands, if you like, that Dumbutung had put into the letter to Rio Tinto.
What's your response to the rival of Rio Tinto, BHP, who released a statement that they are not going to proceed without consulting the traditional owners?
Well, I think that, and has been stated by the media, is a direct result of the rally that Dumbarton ran against Rio Tinto. So I can't see that as being anything than a positive move, so that at least the custodial owners of the potential sites in which BHP has and had planned to blast, they at least now have a negotiating right with BHP in whether or not that goes ahead in the way in which BHP had intended. So we've actually, through Dumbarton, instigated the changes of the Heritage Act prior to the actual minister changing it through the Act through Parliament. So, look, I can only see that as a very, very positive thing that's come from the rally and come from the power of the people in terms of what and how the whole rally highlighted this issue. Because you could equate the devastation of the Juukan Caves to if a company had found a huge, massive uranium deposit under the pyramids of Egypt and had taken dynamite at night and put it around and through the base of the pyramids, and the world waking up one morning, the pyramids are in a massive rubble and they're mining for, you know, uranium that could have been found under the pyramids. And all the Mayan temples in South America, you could equate this to the ISIS devastation of the Buddhist statues in the temples in Afghanistan. But still, they're only literally young in terms of their existence. And we're talking about sites that go back 50,000 years. I mean, Christianity is only 2,000 years in terms of its belief systems. The belief systems in which our people live by in terms of the sacredness of the earth, we believe go back since time immemorial. And I think now it's time for not just Aboriginal Australia, but surely all of Australia and all of humanity, because look, we've had massive response from overseas regarding this rally from the United Kingdom, Europe, America, even Africa, supporting Dumbarton's stance. Dumbarton's only a very small grassroots organisation with two people working here, and yet we were able to bring a giant monolith like Rio Tinto down whilst we spoke our truths. And sometimes you can look at that as being, you know, some people think that, you know, it's impossible to stop or to turn this system without violence. But look, you know, the truth and sometimes just the power of the commitment of the heart to create a better world for humanity is really the strength of who and what we have as people. And we need people to start to understand there's more precious things in this world than just money and the privilege of the affluency in which money buys. It's about nurturing life and creating a lineage between our humanity that we can ensure that the earth will nurture and look after generations to come and not be blown apart by the greed of the Western world.
Says Robert Edgington, the director of the Dumbarton Aboriginal Corporation. Thank you, Robert.
It's my pleasure.
NITV Radio has contacted Rio Tinto for comment. In their answer, Rio Tinto said that we will continue to work with the PKK people to learn from what has taken place and strengthen our partnership. As a matter of urgency, we are reviewing the plans of all other sites in the Juukan Gorge area. Rio Tinto has launched a board-led review of its heritage management processes within iron ore following the events at Juukan Gorge, with a focus on recommending improvements to the effectiveness of its internal processes and governance. NITV Radio has also requested comments from both state and federal ministers for Indigenous Affairs, Ben Wyatt and Ken Wyatt. In his response, the Western Australian Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Ben Wyatt, stated, his spokesperson actually stated that Minister Ben Wyatt did not approve the destruction of the Juukan Caves and was not aware of the approval to destroy the caves and was not asked to intervene in their destruction. The McGowan government is progressing new cultural heritage legislation to better protect Aboriginal heritage in Western Australia. NITV Radio has also contacted Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, Ken Wyatt, but we received no response.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.